it be bad for you? It's fruit juice, dummy. Well, look who's the dummy, and Health Canada may soon change the rules. A nutrition consultant, Pam Killeen, will join us in just a moment for some perspective on this major story just breaking this afternoon when we come back in just a moment right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman and Pam Killeen on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 5:44 now on this Tuesday afternoon, a breaking news story that's going to shock a lot of moms who pumped that that juice into their kids over the mornings for decades now. Listen to this. Can you handle this news, Mom? Can you handle this news? Health Canada reviewing its stand on fruit juice. Why? Because basically it's nothing but sugar floating in water. Here we go.
Well, it's been a standard at breakfast tables for decades, but now it seems Health Canada could be getting ready to drop fruit juice from the National Food Guide. Erin Paul's been looking into this. She joins us now. Erin, what's going on?
Well, this story is being rekindled after a recent comment made by the head of nutrition policy and promotion at Health Canada. He made a comment at a recent conference that Health Canada would soon move away from endorsing juice as a good source of fruit. Now, fruit juice, of course, has been on the radar for years for dentists, physicians, and parents concerned about the amount of sugar in the popular drink. Some types of apple and orange juices contain as much as 5 teaspoons of sugar per cup, and grape juice is twice that, meaning they have the same amount of calories and sugar as a soft drink, but they appear to be healthier. There is a phenomenon called the health halo that leads people to believe that a food product or a drink is actually...
So there it is. There it is. Health Canada reviewing their stand on your morning drink of juice. Joining us now, somebody we've missed the last little while, nutritional consultant Pam Killeen and author Pam Killeen, who's been so busy the last few months polishing off her new book and getting it to market. Pam, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me back on the show, Andy. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, let me ask you about the book. How's it coming?
Oh, it's coming along. It's selling on Amazon, and I've been doing some book launches. I have a seminar starting tomorrow night at the Central Library as well, so I'll be talking about the contents of the book over the next 2 Wednesdays at Central Library.
Well, what's the early reaction to the book? Give us just a snapshot of what the book focuses on and what reaction you're getting.
Well, I'm hearing from people that they are just as concerned as I am about the status of health with our youth today. They're just as concerned as me with regards to their ability to be able to have children, so they're wondering, oh, my gosh, these kids are so sick today. Are they going to be able to even settle down, you know, get married, have children of their own? And they're just right now seemingly too sick to be able to do that, at least, you know, 25% of them anyway. So it's not looking good for future generations, and I think it's a sensitive topic, but I think we have to start talking about it for the sake of our children.
I tend to be on the blunt side. I think you should have called it Sex, How We've Screwed Up, or something. Really get right to the point. But certainly there's a very valuable message there. But you're saying, in a sense, in your book, that infertility is becoming a huge concern.
Oh, huge concern. So we see it across the board, not just with infertility, but we see, you know, young girls with problems with PMS. We see women going through menopause who are experiencing debilitating hot flashes. You're seeing increased rates of miscarriages, stillborns, birth defects. I mean, this is obviously, all of this is a red flag. And unfortunately, because human sexuality is an uncomfortable topic, people don't like to talk about it. But I can't see why we should continue to muzzle this subject. It's too important.
Okay, let's talk about juice labeling, the big story. Pam, you've been saying it for years. Health Canada, with all their white jackets, are the last ones to know about most new truths in the area of health.
That's right. I mean, they've been pushing this low-fat lie for decades. And part of that low-fat lie is to push a high carbohydrate diet. And part of that lie, of course, is to push a lot of juice, which most of us were raised on, things like orange juice or apple juice. But this is, like you said earlier, this is pure sugar. And what it does is it completely dysregulates your hormones. It's not a healthy way to ingest any kind of nutrition. I mean, juicing is a fad. It's totally new to humans. And since we've been juicing, of course, I don't see how it's benefiting our health at all. There's no evidence anywhere in history to show us that juicing is healthy. It's simply not.
A glass of apple or orange juice can have up to 5 teaspoons.
All right, you may as well have a Snickers bar or Mars bar or something along that line. I mean, it's just pure sugar. So it's not healthy. You're better off to eat the orange or to eat the apple than to actually extract the juice.
Okay, so carrots?
Same thing with carrots. Eat, you know, cook up your carrots and smother them with lots of butter. And that's where you're going to get a lot of nutrition, is by adding that butter to the cooked carrots. So don't juice your carrots either.
Okay, and one other breaking news story. Fatty liver disease. Very interesting that you should talk to us today about this on a day when the whole country is thinking about the owner of the Ottawa Senators and his battle to get a new liver, hopefully within the next 3 or 4 days.
Well, I find it interesting that they're talking about the dark side of juice today in the news, and at the same time talking about fatty liver disease, because both stories are interconnected. Because, of course, the research shows that high fructose corn syrup is associated with fatty liver disease. So basically, sugar is associated with fatty liver disease. And it's not fat that causes the fatty liver disease. It's our overconsumption of carbohydrates that is causing this problem. And the tragedy within that story about the fatty liver disease is that very few people know that they have it. And this article admits that. They say that about 40% of the population probably has a fatty liver disease. And if doctors find it by accident. It's not that they actually go in and look for it. So the concern that I have is, when I look back at how sick I was, Andy, because I used to have terrible, you know, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and my clients are all within that category, they go to the doctor and they get tested to see how their liver is functioning. And when the test results come back, they're told that their livers are fine. But I can't see how. When I look back at how sick I was, I can't see how my liver could have been fine. So the testing is all inadequate, in my opinion.
Okay, so if somebody's thinking, well, wait a minute, how do I find out then? If my doctor can't tell me I have fatty liver disease, how will I know?
Well, if you're on a high carbohydrate diet, that's hard on the liver. If you're eating a lot of vegetable oils in your diet, that's very hard on the liver. So if you're dealing with hormonal dysfunction, insomnia, if you're dealing with chronic fatigue, brain fog, depression, anxiety, OCD, if you're dealing with a lot of chronic health problems, you know, there's probably a problem with your liver. And there's no sense even talking to your doctor about it.
So what do you do? Like, I mean, I know cell phones have apps for everything. Can you hold your cell phone next to your liver and give yourself a rating, or what do you do?
You have to change your diets is the one thing that...
No, but how do you know you have the problem?
You know, we live in a real upside down world in terms of our medical system, because unfortunately, you know, the medical system doesn't understand the symptoms like fatigue, depression, anxiety, OCD, insomnia. They just don't understand the root cause of these problems. And so they're going to hand out Prozac or, you know, sleeping pills before they're going to say, oh, maybe you need to change your diet and eat more animal fat in the diet, because, of course, the best fuel for the liver is going to be animal fat.
Okay, we have.
And unfortunately, doctors today are telling people to avoid animal fat still to this day. And that's just wrong advice.
Okay, we have just a second left, literally. Fatty liver disease may be well known, not well known, but it is epidemic. So, again, Pam, if somebody has a concern, who do they go to check it out?
Well, they just have to, you know, find a doctor who may be more open-minded, you know, maybe understands the connection between a high-carbohydrate diet and problems with the liver, problems with the brain. You know, hopefully there is a doctor somewhere in London who understands the benefits of animal fat and the benefits of dietary cholesterol. These types of practitioners, unfortunately, are few and far between. I don't know that there are many in London at all, if any. But you really need to understand that animal fat and dietary cholesterol are not the enemy, that they are your friends. And because we have been tapering them down in our diet for several decades now, this is what's causing a lot of the problems with the liver.
Wow. So, we're out of time, Pam. Tell us again about your appearances soon in London.
Yeah, so tomorrow night at 6:30, I'll be speaking at the Tonda Room at the Central Library downtown. And so it's a two-part class that I'm starting tomorrow night. So it's tomorrow night and next Wednesday. And I have more information on my website, which is just my name, pamkilleen.com.
Are we still sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever?
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible when you look around at how sick we are, especially when you see how sick our children are. I mean, Andy, 25, up to 28% of our children today have some kind of mental disorder, some kind of mood problem. And this is not normal. We have to start looking at this situation as a crisis, and we have to do more about it to protect our children. We can't just try to normalize these symptoms because they are far from being normal.
Pam, I have to run or my boss will have a mood disorder. So we'll talk to you real soon, and all the best with your appearances. Thank you so much. Short break. We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment right here on the Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJVK.